Egypt.
This is Xander C. Fuerza, also known as ZCF, and Zion Crime Factory as well. It is July the 23rd, 2013, and I decided to make this audio for a lot of people who seem to be concerned about me or worried about me. I can assure you I'm perfectly fine. I appreciate your concern. I, of course, needed some time off to reflect and gather my thoughts after what happened in February. And it's just not a very healthy thing, I feel, to obsess about anything. We know the dangers of people out there who are obsessed with celebrities or obsessed with sports stars. And I think we all recognize, those of us who are awake, we recognize that those people are psychologically unstable, that they're mentally unhealthy. But the same thing can happen on the other side of the fence. People who are awake, who are very interested in history, very interested in politics, and they become consumed with these topics. With these ideas. And that also is unhealthy. It doesn't really lead to anything positive. It causes stress. It causes negative emotions, because a lot of the things that we see going on in the world are negative, are very disturbing. The truth about certain historical events is very unsettling. We've been lied to about a lot of different things. The truth is a very dark truth concerning many of these issues. Most people out there are simply unwilling to see the truth, to recognize the reality, the facts about many historical events, simply because it's too disturbing for them. They cannot fathom that that could possibly be true. And that's one of the reasons that I, you know, needed to take time off and get my head straight and get my priorities in order as well, because people who get involved in the truth movement or historical writing and whatever the case is, they tend to neglect their own life, the people that are around them, the family, their friends, those tend to be set aside and put on the back burner, and your relationships are going to suffer because of that. And that's something that happens a lot. It happened to me, it happened to a lot of different people. So it's best to set your priorities straight. You know, the people most important to you should be the ones that get the most attention from you. A lot of these people on the internet are just, you know, acquaintances. They're not actually in your life, so it's better to focus on your loved ones instead of very distant people out there who might share the same views as you concerning politics or history. I also wanted to clear the air concerning what happened with the website. People have been asking me to do that. I've already done it in terms of I wrote several blog posts detailing exactly what happened. Some people seem to be pretty paranoid though, and they've been putting out ridiculous rumors that I'm dead or kidnapped and other nonsense. So I guess this will just put those to rest and clear the air over what happened. I guess I'll just start with where it all began. I'd been writing for several years before I even came into contact with Delaney. I had been using the Zion Crime Factory name prior to me coming into contact with him. Many people hadn't known about me and my writings before the website. But in September 2011, he offered to host a site for me. He had seen some of my articles and he liked some of my stuff. So he offered to host a site because he saw that I kept getting censored and my blogs were being removed consistently. So he said, "Here, I'll buy you a website. I'll host it on my server. This will end the censorship problem for you." And one of the lies that he's been putting out there is that he owned the site prior to me even coming onto the scene, that he had this website from the beginning and he just lent it to me to put on my writings. He never owned the ZionCrimeFactory.com website until I came into contact with him, and he bought that domain specifically for me. In September of 2011, he bought that domain, gave it to me, said, "You can use this website as your own website." He didn't say, "Oh, this is my site, you can just maybe put a couple of your articles up." No, he gave me full control of the site. He didn't write or put anything of his own on the website. It was entirely my site for my work to be displayed. So that's one major lie that he's been putting out there. And as soon as I came into contact with him, it was probably the second time I even talked to him on Skype. He had encouraged me to join his TeamSpeak server, or come into his TeamSpeak server with some of his friends. And I quickly realized that this group of friends that he had were all a bunch of Christian identity lunatics led by William Fink, one of his close associates and friends, who was running this TeamSpeak server called Christigenia. He brought me in there and he basically tried to proselytize. I mean, he got them to do it for him, but he wanted to convert me to his CI cult. And I immediately rejected it. I'd heard of it before that incident, and it was just very blatant that these guys were just completely unstable. They were mentally deranged. They were just crude, vulgar, white supremacists. And I rejected it on that basis, and also because it's religious fantasy. It's nonsense. So I'm in this TeamSpeak chat room with a bunch of Christian identity fanatics, friends of ProThink, including William Fink, who I later find out is a convicted murderer. And these guys were very aggressive, and anybody who's familiar with the Christian identity movement recognizes that these people are nuts. They're completely insane. They're aggressive. They're vulgar. They're obnoxious. They're hateful. They're maniacs. And I got in a dispute or an argument with some of them in that TeamSpeak room because I'm an atheist and I reject religious dogma. And I rejected their religious beliefs and the nonsense that they were trying to push on me. And of course, they didn't like me from the get-go because of that. They hated the fact that I was an atheist. And eventually, William Fink banned me from that TeamSpeak chat room. And he was out to get me from that moment on. He was gunning for me from day one. He just sort of waited in the wings for his chance to strike, because me and Prothink didn't really dispute over that too much during the duration of my involvement with that, with him and his group. Me and him sort of just put that aside, and I just did my own thing with the site and put up my articles. And we didn't really talk about that for a long time. And I tried to stay away from it, but those guys were always around. They were always present in Skype, in the TeamSpeak server that Prothink set up. They were pushing their obscene worldview, absurd, fictitious beliefs. So that was always there, and that was always a problem. A lot of the guys that were following my website and were involved with getting involved in discussions on TeamSpeak or Skype or what have you, they rejected this nonsense as well. They knew these guys were nuts and they were a hindrance to the movement. But that wasn't really a big issue. I kind of just set that aside and avoided that subject for a long time. But they follow you around. They would follow me around on radio shows. They would try to provoke me. And these guys are relentless. They're stalkers. They're provocateurs. They're provocateurs. All of them, every single Christian identity person that I've ever talked to has been a complete scumbag, has just been an aggressive, obnoxious, vulgar, nasty person. And that is what their dogma does. It turns you into a nut job. But that clash between me and the Christian identity people came to a head no, it was January or February 2013. And it was very bizarre because, you know, I'd been saying some of the things that I said in the chat room that Delaney reacted to and pulled this stunt. I'd been saying all along, and I'd said it numerous times before. He'd known my views about that from the beginning, because he was in that TeamSpeak chat room with me, and when me and William Fink got in a heated argument. So he knew my position from the get-go. If he had a problem with it, that was the second day I came into contact with him, is when he found out that I was against it. So if he really had an issue with my opposition to Christian identity or Christianity, he should have dismissed me the second day we came into contact when he found out that I was against CI. So he waits a year and a half to finally get rid of me, to tell me to get out of here, that he wants nothing to do with me, that my views are unacceptable to him. He waits a year and a half to do that. That doesn't make any sense. But then again, we're dealing with somebody who's mentally unstable, who cannot conceive a logical thought if his life depended on it. Maybe he was didn't even think about what he was doing. He just did it out of pure emotional volatility. But to get to what actually took place in February of 2013, when the site was hijacked, there was just a chat room going on Skype, an open chat room. He didn't make that chat room. He didn't set any rules for it. Somebody else had made the chat room. And we were just shooting the breeze about different topics as we'd always done. And I had gotten into some sort of debate back and forth with some of these CI guys, as it took place a lot because these guys were always pushing their views. So as I'm discussing these topics with this Christian identity person, it wasn't even Mike, it was somebody else. I had said something to the effect of Yahweh equals JWO, or Yahweh equals a Jew world order, which is a completely true statement. So I make a few little comments like this, and they weren't even directed towards the CI guy specifically. I just had said Yahweh equals JWO, and then we got into the CI stuff. But Mike comes in later. He wasn't even there at the time, and then he comes in later to the chat room and says, "Only a Jew," or "only a kike," as he says in his typical crude trailer park trash lingo, vulgarities, foul mouth that he has. "Only a kike would have this much of a hard on to bash CI." So he comes in there, insults me, calls me a Jew for opposing a Judaic dogma like CI, who claim that they're the real Hebrews, a religion that claims white people are the ancient Israelites, are the ancient Hebrews, descendants of the ancient Hebrews, the real Jews. So he believes himself to be a real Hebrew Israelite, but I'm a Jew for opposing this ideology. And of course, as is the typical response of any Christian identity fanatic, anyone who disagrees with them, anyone who opposes them or rejects their ideology, is called a Jew, because that is the standard defamation tactic that they use. It is pathetic. It is a joke. It's idiotic. So at this point, I didn't even respond directly to pro-think slanderous ad hominem attacks against me. I just let it go. I didn't even say anything. And the next day, I find that ProThink is on a tirade in the Skype group, attacking anybody who's not CI, saying you're a bunch of ignorant fools, shut your damn mouths. And later in the day, I find out that ProThink has changed my password on my website, and I can't log in, and I can't get into the site. And at this point, I understood what happened. He'd taken the site away from me. And there was pretty much no reconciliation that was going to happen after that. I mean, that's a pretty snakish, underhanded thing to do, is to lock somebody out of their own website that they'd been working on for over a year and a half, about a year and a half, and it built up to the level that it was, getting thousands of hits a day. And he goes behind my back and changes the password. So at this point, all I did was send him an email saying, "Could you transfer the domain and the content to another server? Clearly, we're not going to resolve our differences. It's just not going to work out." I was very cordial. I wasn't aggressive. I wasn't insulting. I didn't say anything personally against him because I didn't want to provoke the situation. And he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. It's not going to be that easy," were his exact words. And I even offered to pay for the transfer of the content and the domain transfer because it cost some money. I offered to pay it, and he still refused. He wanted revenge. He wanted to hurt me. It was obvious. He was still pissed off. He was in an emotionally volatile state. He was trying to hurt me. So, a couple weeks went by. I was still locked out of the website. And then, in a truly depraved act, him and some of his Christian Identity cohorts put out personal information about me on the internet as another attack against me. So they're behaving just like a federal snitch or an informant would, putting out personal information about me that was given to them in confidence. I falsely trusted Prothink and some of his mentally ill friends. And they go behind my back and do this. Is this the behavior of an honorable person? A moral person? Somebody that can be trusted? Absolutely not. These people are backstabbers. They're snakes. They're corrupt psychopaths. Okay, they will do this to anybody that they feel is an opponent or a threat to their dogma, to their crazy worldview. So he locks me out of the website. He still has control of the website today. And not only that, but after I posted my side of the story on the Real ZCF blog, Delaney goes into my drafts on the site, my unpublished material, and he found an old draft of my book, Masters of Deception, because I had originally written some of the book, or an old draft of the book, within a posting or a page within the website. I had written out many chapters. And this draft is old. It's not what my book actually is. I've changed it quite a bit. I've added so much since that draft. It was a very old and outdated draft. But he publishes this without my consent, against my wishes, on the Zion Crime Factory website as another attack against me, as another stab in the back. I hadn't released the book at this point. I wasn't even finished the book yet in February of 2013. And he releases this on the website, which is illegal, which is against copyright infringement. The thing is that if he is going to claim now that these actions, these heinous actions that he inflicted upon me, was not about CI, this flies in the face of all of the evidence. Now he is actually claiming that this wasn't about Christian Identity. It wasn't about my views about Christian Identity. It wasn't about what I said in the chat room. These are just more lies from this psychotic lunatic. This man is a pathological liar, a deceiver. More evidence that this was about CI, that it was about what I had said about CI or Yahweh equaling the JWO, is that as soon as he locked me out of my website, he redirected the domain, Zion Crime Factory, to christogenia.org. For 2 days, my Zion Crime Factory site was being redirected to Christogenia, which is the website of the CI cult leader, psychopath, convicted murderer, William Fink. So Delaney sent my site and all of my hits to a CI website for 2 days after he had seized it. If it wasn't about CI, if the dispute wasn't about CI, if he decided to get rid of me for some other reason, then why did he send my site to a CI website? He sent it there because he was trying to get at me. He was trying to get under my skin. He says, "You insulted my beliefs." He told another person on Skype the next day, "ZCF is my enemy now because he bashed my core beliefs, his CI beliefs. And he sends my website to a CI cult website to piss me off, to get under my skin, to get me upset, to stab me in the back." He told this other person on Skype, who relayed his conversation to me, that he sends my site over to Christian Identity Central, Cult Central, because now all of my readers and viewers are going to be directed to his Cult Central hub. And now they can't view my information anymore, is what he said. They're getting information, just not ZCF's information. So that right there, that action of him redirecting the site to Christogenia, run by the murderer William Fink, an animal, a degenerate psychopath, is proof that it was about CI, that the dispute was about CI, that he was upset at me because of my views about CI and what I had said in the chat room. So he's a proven liar. A nutcase. A thief who's stolen all of my work that he still has up on the website, that he's still running without my consent. He has my name on the site. He is making postings on the site in which he is slandering and defaming other people in the truth movement, and then he has my name on the site, as if I'm writing this. He's impersonating me on Facebook. He made a Zion Crime Factory page without my consent. He's pretending to be me. He made an account on his ADL website, TrueTube, using my name, Zion Crime Factory. He uploaded my videos without my consent. He did this to several other people. He's a criminal. He's a thug. A lunatic. This man has to be either completely nuts, or he's working for the ADL or the FBI, and he's been sent in to infiltrate the nationalist movement, the truth movement, to disrupt it, to cause chaos, to cause problems. All that he does now is attack anybody whose views aren't in line with his, who's not a psychopath, who's not a deranged supremacist. Not only that, but he's soliciting for donations still on the website he stole from me, using my writings, using my work. He's using my own site to attack me and spread slander and lies against me, against other people. This is criminal behavior. This is illegal behavior. This is criminal behavior. He's a convicted felon, a convicted thief. And this is not the first time he's pulled a stunt like this. I wrote a blog post showing that he had done this before with the 9/11 Missing Links movie, which he stole from several other people. He didn't do any of the work on the film. He can't even write. He's illiterate. He's a moron. He's uneducated. He can't write. The script of the film was mainly the work of a guy named Converse. The video editing was done by John Allen Mertinson Jr. All Delaney did with that film, it seems, is buy the domain in which the video is hosted on. The same thing he did with me. All he did was purchase the website that contains my work. He purchased the domain. That's it. He is nothing more than a host. Somebody who hosts websites. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do any work. He doesn't do any research. He takes other people's work. He steals other people's work and puts them up on websites and then puts a donation button so that people who perhaps don't know much about this guy, who don't know his history, might give him some money without knowing that they're funding a criminal. Another thing that is important to mention is that after I wrote the blog post explaining what had happened with the website and what he had done, Delaney resorted to some pretty pathetic and desperate measures to smear me and to gain sympathy. And one of the things he put out was some barely literate article that contained a picture of himself and his family, in which he claimed falsely that I or my supporters had sent him death threats after he seized the website. This is a complete lie. I didn't send him anything after he seized the website other than two emails asking him to transfer the domain and the website content to another server. After that, I didn't say anything to him. I deleted him from Skype. I didn't send him any more emails. And he, of course, presented no evidence that any of my supporters sent him any death threats. He provided no screenshots of any emails, no recordings of any phone calls, nothing. This is a completely invented claim, made up, a lie to gain sympathy for himself. He posts a picture of his family, his children, as if to say, look at me, look at my innocent family. I'm just a good guy, I'm a victim here. Using his family disgracefully to gain sympathy. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Almost nobody with half a brain bought into these lies that he was spreading, except for a couple of idiot radio hosts who have the intellectual capacity of a 6-year-old, maybe. So not only did I not send any threats to Delaney, not only did none of my supporters send him any threats, and he has no evidence of this, but Delaney himself actually threatened me with violence, with physical violence. I posted a screenshot of an email that he sent in response to somebody who had questioned his actions regarding this seizure of the website, in which he threatens to kick my teeth in if he never met me in person. A few people who were present and were involved in the inner circle of everything that went down with the Skype group and all that told me that they were in his TeamSpeak server the same day that he seized the website, and he was there with William Fink and a few other people. William Fink was scheming behind the scenes when all this went down, encouraging Delaney to take away the website from me and do all these things. But these witnesses told me that Delaney was threatening to beat me up and beat the shit out of me, like the thug that he is, the street thug, gangster wannabe that he is. So the reality is very much the opposite of how this pathological liar has portrayed it. He's the one who's threatening me. Him and his supporters, his Christian Identity freak outfit clan, were threatening me, as they do with everybody who they view as a threat. Anybody that they don't like is the victim of threats, intimidation. So the truth is the opposite of this guy's claims. He's resorting to psychological projection, projecting his own depravity, his own insanity, his own malevolence, his own criminality onto me. There were a few other people involved with the theft of the website, the encouraging Delaney to take the website and screw me over. And one of them is John Friend. This guy had tried to buddy up to me, and he'd always praise me and compliment my work, and he told me that, you know, some of my writings about Israeli involvement in 9/11 or what woke him up to all this. So this guy was claiming to be my friend, claiming to be a supporter on the same side. But this guy was actively supporting Delaney when he took the website. He was going in chat rooms saying that I deserved everything that was happening to me, that I deserved to have the site taken from me. He was giving a platform to the CI movement. He gave a platform to William Fink, the murderer, to spread slander about me. Lies that I'm not white, another Christian Identity typical slander. They say this about each other. They disagree with each other and call each other rabbis. They're completely nuts. But the reason that he betrayed me, and it's not really something I care about too much. He's not very important. I wasn't close to him or anything, but the guy claimed to be a friend and a supporter, and then he randomly just stabbed me in the back for no reason. And the main motivation behind that on his part was that he was fully ingratiated with the Christian Identity people. He is CI. He's converted to CI. He was buddying up to William Fink, one of the main plotters behind all of this. He believed every last lie that this guy was saying about me. So this guy was acting on behalf of Christian Identity and the Christian Identity movement. He's completely nuts. He's unstable. John Friend is a strange, odd character. He has some very unorthodox beliefs. He's very gullible. He's very easily led. He can't really think for himself. He just believes anything that some guy is telling him at any given time. Whatever somebody's whispering in his ear at any given time, he seems to be duped quite easily. This guy has no credibility. He promotes ridiculous fantasy theories, and, well, he believes in Christian Identity, so he must be insane. Another guy that was actively involved in helping Delaney and encouraging Delaney to steal the site, to pirate my work for his own benefit, was this nut job named Scott Roberts. And I never liked this guy. He runs a trashy forum And this guy didn't like me because I didn't really give him much attention. He would come to my website and try to stir up trouble in the comments. And this guy is a troll. All he does is go around to different voices in the alternative truth movement, the Jewwise truth movement, and start disputes with people who don't agree with everything that he says. He thinks he's right about absolutely everything. There's nothing that he could be wrong about. And he calls anybody that's not 100% on board with his views, with his ridiculous beliefs, a disinformation agent or controlled dissent. Oh, this guy's just on a higher level of controlled dissent. He doesn't believe that the Jews are responsible for causing that tsunami in Asia. Oh, he must be a shill. This guy is nuts. He blames Jews for everything. He's a false voice. He's out to discredit legitimate opposition of Jewish supremacism. And this thief stole many of my articles and he put it up on his forum. He would copy and paste my major articles and put them up on his forum. And he would pretend to praise me at one point. Great work, you're doing great work. And then, as soon as I disagree with him about one thing, he's colluding with Prostink to have my website destroyed. This guy, Scott Roberts, is, in my opinion, a FBI informant, and the reason I believe that is because in 2012 he'd contacted me. He'd pretended that he was impressed with my work and wanted to work with me. And he encouraged me to join him on some bogus trip that he claimed to be organizing to Germany. A trip to Germany in 2012. This man was constantly prodding me, trying to coax me to give out my personal details. He calls anybody who doesn't give out their full name and picture a coward, an anonymous coward, and so on. He's an FBI informant who's just looking to get the personal details of anybody with opinions that the Jewish supremacists don't like. So what is this guy saying? He's saying, give me your personal details. Tell us who you are. Tell us where you live. And then come with me to Germany where you can be arrested by the German police state for the crime of doubting the Holocaust, which I've done in several articles. This man is a Fed. Everything he does smells of federal informant. He's a troll, he's disruptive, he's obnoxious, he's aggressive, he's psychotic, absolutely psychotic. If you disagree with him about anything, you're a shill, you're controlled dissent, blah blah blah. He's a paranoid schizophrenic, or this is part of his job as an FBI or an ADL informant. He's a buffoon. He can't write. He steals other people's articles. He steals my articles, even. And then at the same time, says I'm controlled dissent while he's promoting my stuff, just as the nut job Delaney is doing. Using my work, my articles, videos, etc. to benefit himself, and at the same time attacking me. And one of the other things that this moron, Scott Roberts, was saying was that, oh, I don't care about Jew-written laws. I don't care about laws that were written by Jews, such as hate speech laws. So, if you're in Europe, if you're in Australia, if you're in Canada, and they have these laws against hate speech, quote unquote, you shouldn't be respecting these laws. Who cares about these laws? Give out your personal details, put your name and face out there, and say what you're saying. Risk being fined and arrested. Of course, this idiot isn't worried about these laws because he's an American and he can say whatever he wants without any repercussions, without any threat of losing his freedom. What a moron. He's calling people who live in countries whose governments prosecute people for speech, whose governments persecute people for speech, calling people who speak out of these countries but do so anonymously, calling them cowards because they're anonymous, while he's sitting in America, a country that has full freedom of speech. Of course, he's not worried about such a thing. He's got no need to worry about that. What a scumbag. What a loser. I think that one of the secondary reasons that Delaney and his gang wanted to get rid of me and wanted to do me harm was because I wasn't caving into the peer pressure to become just a hateful, over-the-top psycho who is promoting violence, who's promoting illegal acts, who's promoting genocide of all Jews, which is something that pleased him. He loved to see that on all these different websites. He certainly promotes that. Delaney, what has been on radio shows calling for all Jews to be exterminated on a cellular level. He actually has voiced this view on a cellular level. This is probably the most extreme, ludicrous statement that's ever been made. He's literally talking about killing every single Jew in the world. And anyone who has the slightest hint of Jewish background. And this is, of course, stems much of this extremist, over-the-top, psychotic rhetoric stems from Christian Identity, and that's the official position of Christian Identity, is to exterminate all Jews and to exterminate all non-whites from the earth. But there were others that were promoting this kind of nonsense that were within the inner circle of the people that were surrounding me. I think one of the main problems that I had were the people that were around me. I'm not perfect, of course, but I was being influenced and I was being prodded to become more extreme, to take a more extreme stance. If you weren't doing stuff like that, these guys would criticize anybody who wasn't as extreme as they were, as too moderate, too lenient, too soft. They would bash everybody in the truth movement who wasn't promoting genocide or wasn't using crude language to denigrate non-whites, who wasn't hard enough, hardcore enough on the race issue, promoting obsessive thoughts about race. They had an obsession with race and constantly just propping up their own worldview And this was the type of thing that I was becoming tired of. It wasn't a positive environment. It was just completely negative. It's all about just bashing everybody that wasn't 100% in line with this type of worldview. And it was getting worse and worse. I mean, I was probably influenced by this type of stuff, and you can see it in some of my writings were becoming more extreme. But I never truly gave in to that peer pressure on the site. I never called for violence. I'd never gone across that line because it's just not something I believe in. I don't believe in killing everybody that you don't like. I don't believe in murdering people simply based on their background. It's not correct to blame an entire group for the actions of some people in that group, even if it's a lot of people in that group or a majority supporting those actions. That doesn't mean that every single person with that heritage is evil. And the main thing that these guys were pushing was the totally ridiculous view that Jews are genetically predisposed to evil or genetically are corrupt, which is nonsense because there's corrupt people in every race. There's corrupt and psychotic people, criminals, murderers, psychopaths in every race. So, how are you going to claim that only Jews, or all Jews and only Jews, have this genetic predisposition to evil? Why wouldn't you argue that for other groups who also have committed evil? And it's this type of irrational hatred that they were promoting that didn't sit well with me. I was uncomfortable around these people because they were so aggressive, because they were so violent. And that's one thing that caused me to rethink some of my beliefs and stances. And I think I would have definitely left the pro-stink camp, even if he didn't do what he did. I would have left because I didn't feel comfortable with these extreme people at all. I didn't feel like I could get along with these people or put up with them for much longer. They would also viciously attack Jews or former Jews like Brother Nathaniel Kapner or Gilad Atzmon and a few others that are telling the truth, that have taken a stand against Jewish supremacy. And they would, denigrate these people constantly, just, and the attacks were very senseless. They're very just bereft of any logic. They were totally motivated by just a racial, ethnic hatred of Jews. So anybody with a Jewish background, even if they're not doing anything wrong, even if they're not evil, even if they're speaking the truth, going out of their way, putting themselves at great risk to speak the truth about historical subjects or political subjects, about Jewish involvement in crimes, Jewish wrongdoing, they would say that these guys are just controlled opposition or can't be trusted or whatever. I mean, this type of claim is nonsense. Not only because it's just motivated by a hatred of all Jews based on the fact that they're Jews. But also, I mean, there are many people in the alternative media that aren't Jewish that are promoting falsehoods, that are promoting disinformation, that are spreading lies, such as Alex Jones, such as Jim Mars, and others. Most people in the quote-unquote truth movement are promoting false theories, are giving people a limited view that doesn't cover the main conspirator group, which is the Zionists, behind most of the big events of the past century. So, how can all Jews be evil or genetically evil or genetically liars when we have non-Jews here in the movement, in the truth movement, who are lying deliberately, who know that what they're saying is false, but continue to promote these falsehoods? So why would you go after former Jews who are telling the truth, and maybe you don't agree with one position that they have on one subject, one ancillary topic, so that means they're not trustworthy because you disagree with them about something, because they're not 100% in line with your views? You're never going to find a single person on earth that's 100% in agreement with you. So why does a person like Gilad Atzmon or Kapner, having a position that you don't agree with, how does that indicate that they're dishonest or untrustworthy? It just means they don't agree with you. Okay? So that's another thing that was just very unsettling. And if I were to promote one of these guys or say anything positive about these former Jews that are speaking out, then I would be looked at suspiciously. What are you, a Jew lover? Why are you promoting this guy? This guy's a Jew. He must be evil. You can't promote this guy. What are you getting soft? And this was a type of shit that I just want nothing to do with. I mean, these guys are psychotic. They just hate Jews based on a racial thing. So these types of people that were pushing this hardcore dislike of all Jews and pretty much of all non-whites too. I mean, they didn't really make a distinction between the two. This was the type of environment that wasn't conducive to a productive, progressive movement or level of intellectual thought. So that's the type of thing that I've been trying to stay away from, and to get a sense of normalcy back, you kind of have to distance yourself from people like that and find people that are more normal, more level-headed, and aren't head cases, aren't subject to, or susceptible to becoming so extreme, so over the top that they can't even control themselves and their emotions. One of the good things that did come out of all this crap was that it motivated me to finish my book. I wasn't completely done the book in February. I didn't know how I was going to release the book. And this really just pushed me to focus on getting that done, getting that finished, getting it edited. And it turned out a lot better than I had even expected that it would. When I first started writing, I didn't ever imagine that I could create a book, put together a book. It just seemed like a very daunting task at the time. It took me a long time to put it together. probably well over a year. I think I started writing it and putting it together in early 2012. And there were just a lot of distractions and a lot of roadblocks. But I stuck to it. I promised myself that I'd finish it. 9/11 was a topic that originally woke me up in the first place. It was the first historical event that I began really researching that I was really interested in. So that's the perfect topic for me to write my first book about. So I put it out. It's up on the internet. It's about 205 or 206 pages. It's called Masters of Deception, Zionism, 9/11, and the War on Terror Hoax. And it's one of the few books out there. There are a few other books that were published before mine about this exact topic, about the Zionist role in 9/11, the Israeli hand behind all of this monstrous malfeasance. And it's a very important subject because it's something that happened recently, relatively recently, in 2001. 9/11 was very much the catalyst for everything that's going on today with the wars in the Middle East that are raging on. They're starting new wars, it seems, every few years. The police state measures that have been inflicted upon the US and most Western countries are a direct result of the 9/11 attacks. The massive spying and surveillance that's been uncovered, especially emanating from the NSA and other criminal institutions. This is all a direct result of 9/11. 9/11 was the excuse used for all of this nonsense. So it's very important. It's if you expose 9/11 for what it was, a fraudulent, fake event that was organized by people that have an agenda of global chaos, control. The official story is a pack of lies and disinformation. So I'm pretty proud of the book. You can find it on the internet on the archive.org website and download it from Deanna Spingola's website as well, spingola.com. I also recently made a blog site called mastersofdeception.wordpress.com where I posted six of the more powerful chapters directly on the blog, and I link to the full PDF that can be downloaded for free. So I'll encourage everybody to give that a read. Pass it around to your friends, to your family. It'll certainly shock them. But everything is sourced. Every claim that I make, every statement that I make in the book is sourced, is backed up with the cold, hard facts. I use mainstream sources, I use alternative sources, I use even Jewish sources to show a lot of the things that I'm presenting in the book. So it is up to scholarly standards, in my view. It's definitely my most scholarly work. I've gotten better at writing and sourcing and presenting an argument, presenting a theory, and backing it up and demonstrating it using facts, using logic, reason. I think that's one of my strong points. So as for the future, I don't know what it holds for me. I definitely don't intend to completely give up on these topics, but at the same time, like I said before, obsessing about this stuff is not healthy. It doesn't lead to anything positive. So I think that, what I was doing before was I was too embroiled in all of this. But once you learn about these subjects, these historical subjects, these political issues, and you learn the truth about history, particularly about World War II or 9/11 or things like that, it's very difficult to go back to being unconcerned with these things. It's almost impossible, and I don't think I could do that. But the key to a healthy mindset is to find a balance between your different activities, your different thoughts, concerns. So that's what I'm going to try to do from now on is find a middle ground, different things that I'm involved with, and not focus too much on one thing or one subject or one idea or one activity. So thank you for listening. I hope you all have an enjoyable rest of the summer. Until next time, adios.